Could you play a little Name That Tune with us on the show this morning? How many notes did it take you to come up with Believe by Cher? I figure not a whole lot. It was on this day in 1999 that Cher began a four-week run at number one on the U.S. singles chart with that song, Believe, making her, and this is the important part, the oldest woman to top the Hot 100 at the age of 53. On this day, March the 13th, 1999, 53-year-old Cher at number one on the Hot 100. Believe remains to this day one of the best-selling singles of all time, with sales of over 11 million copies worldwide. Good Thursday morning. Hey, thanks a lot for stopping by, spending some of your time with us. We know it's the most valuable commodity that you have, and I really appreciate you making the time to spend some of it with us. I hope we can reward you for that time spent. They say a picture is worth 1,000 words. Couple of pictures, less than 1,000 words. The first one, right there on the front page of our Waterloo Region Record today, my buddy Don Schlupp, good guy right there, that Donnie Schlupp, let me tell you, Resurf Ice in Elmira. They make the Olympia ice resurfacing machine. I have said this before, I will say it again. Every arena in this region should have an Olympia, not the other Jambroni, okay? We want an Olympia. I've been saying it for years. And oh, now that there's the threat of tariffs and we're talking about local, made in Canada procurement, let's go with your going on. Every ice surface in the region of Waterloo should have an Olympia ice resurfacing machine attached to it. And along the same vein, hockey, another picture. And this one I shared with you on our Facebook page, facebook.com/The Mike Farwell Show, because I was watching the 6 o'clock news last evening with my good buddy, Tony Grace, right there. Another good guy right there, that Tony Grace, the 6 o'clock news anchor. And they were, CTV Kitchener was showing a story about Elizabeth Ziegler School, which of course you've been hearing all about here on 570 News Radio as well. The closure, the structural integrity of the school called into question, the frustration as the closure drags on and on. But what stood out to me and why I posted the picture on our Facebook page this morning is because one of the workers at the school trying to do some repairs was wearing a vintage, and I do mean vintage, Kitchener Rangers jacket. You know those things are built tough, just like the team, right? If you're wearing them out there on a construction site, you can check out the picture for yourself. Facebook.com/The Mike Farwell Show. How about it? A Farwell Show 5 for this Thursday morning. You got it. Number one, Ontario Premier Doug Ford says the goal of his meeting today with U.S. Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick is to get a coherent sense of the Trump administration's plans for tariffs. The meeting in Washington comes days after a dust-up with Donald Trump that ended with Ontario pausing its surcharge on electricity exports to the United States. It also comes as Canada's dollar-for-dollar 25% tariffs on American goods worth $29.8 billion have now gone into effect in retaliation for steel and aluminum tariffs Trump imposed yesterday. Number two, Canada is ready to open the door for number 24. Newly minted Liberal leader Mark Carney will be sworn in tomorrow as Canada's 24th Prime Minister during a ceremony at Rideau Hall. Number three on your Farwell Show 5 this morning, Waterloo Regional Police want to remind us to drive safely. Over the next week, an educational campaign will be launched targeting the fatal four offenses: impaired driving, distracted driving, speeding and aggressive driving, and improperly used seatbelts. In 2024, there were 15 fatal collisions resulting in the death of 17 people. That's a 50% increase over 2023. Number four, Grand River Transit is making changes to dozens of bus stops. GRT says the changes will improve travel times and make bus service more reliable. Information notices have been posted at the stops around the region, with the changes to take effect on April the 28th. The full list of all affected stops can be found at GRT.com. transitstop.ca. It is a lengthy list. Do you know where they don't make transit stop changes? On the rail line. Just pointing that out for you. And number five on your Farwell Show 5 this morning, a stick tap today for a minor hockey coach in Guelph who's hanging up his skates after two decades behind the bench. Keith Schultz coached his final game for Guelph minor hockey on Sunday at the Sleeman Center. The 58-year-old says it's time for more time with family as he becomes a first-time grandfather. Schultz spent most of his time coaching with the U14 to U16 age groups. And that is your Farwell Show 5 for this Thursday morning. If you were with us during the show yesterday, you may remember this call from Dennis, who was quite upset after receiving a photo radar ticket in the mail because he drove 61 in a 50 zone in Wellington County where they have new speed cameras.
It adds up to about 71% in fees for the pleasure of sending me the ticket. A license check fee. Really? A fee for mailing it to me. And then a surcharge fee for having to do the fee to charge me for the other fee. Seriously. 61 kilometers. I should have got a merit award for doing 61 and a 50. Not a ticket. But hey, whatever, right? This is the money-grabbing scheme. So I remember hearing on the radio somebody driving or flying around with drones dropping garbage pails on top of these cameras. I'm buying a drone tonight. That's okay. I'll get my fee money back. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Now, when Dennis said that, I will not tell a lie. I endorsed the plan. Go ahead, cover that camera, said I. And that wasn't the only issue raised on the show yesterday. We also talked about those really wacky signs that show a speed limit in a given neighborhood or on a given road is ending like 10 meters before you get to a stop sign. How are you going to speed up when you're about to stop at a stop sign? Well, I've got the answer as to why those signs exist. And much like Dennis with the garbage pail over the speed camera, which I endorsed, a little bit of civil disobedience, I think we should engage in more civil disobedience to fix the sign problem. I have the answer, and I'll share it coming up on the Mike Farwell Show. It's only a little bit illegal. This is 570 News Radio and Rogers TV. I played for you just before the break a little clip of a call we got on the show yesterday from Dennis. And Dennis was concerned about not just the ticket he got from a speed camera in Wellington County, but all of the associated fees attached to it makes him think that the program is, after all, a cash grab. And let's remind you that those speed cameras in Wellington County, which have been in operation for six weeks, have already generated $1.2 million in revenue in 6 weeks. But only about $450,000 of that gets back to the municipality. So where does the other $750,000-ish dollars go? Well, there are administration fees for issuing the tickets, processing the tickets. The cameras themselves are operated or maintained by a third party. It just goes on and on and on. Lots in there. So Dennis was quite upset and suggested that he had heard on the radio, not here, but we all heard it yesterday when Dennis said it, that some people were using drones to fly around and drop garbage cans onto the speed cameras so the speed camera would be covered. He said he was going to go out and buy a drone. And I said, you know what? You do that. I'm going to endorse your act of civil disobedience. And that led to another call later from Sharon, who is quite concerned in Wilmot Township about the ongoing non-disclosure agreement that's keeping people in the dark around the Wilmot Land Assembly. And I said to Sharon, your fight should be at the doorstep of Kitchener-Conestoga MPP Mike Harris. This is a provincial issue, and that's where you should direct your concerns and go and hold your information picket or your protest outside of Mr. Harris's offices. And so, as you know, on this show, we have many people in positions of influence just listening in, find out what we're talking about, see if they can help out. And yesterday we talked about, and there's also a picture of this, by the way, on our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheMikeFarwellShow. We talked about all of these. Like, there are dozens of these really bizarre speed limit signs around the region. And the signs are bizarre because it shows that a certain speed limit is coming to an end when you are like 10 meters, maybe 15 or 20 meters away from a stop sign. It just, it defies logic that a sign would say at that spot, maximum 30 or maximum 40 ends when you're about to stop and turn onto another road anyway. Well, it was shared with me by one of those listeners of influence that this is actually provincial regulation. The province sets the speed limit in residential neighborhoods at 50 kilometers per hour. But if cities want speeds lowered, they have to create a zone for that. So that's why you see signs that say maximum 40 zone begins as you turn from an arterial road onto a residential street. And as you exit the 40 zone and have to turn onto an arterial road where it's 50, the signage must again show that because of provincial regulation. So I've come up with the answer that's only a teeny bit illegal, but I honestly think this would work. First of all, one solution, I think we could just leave all the speed limits 50. Like, seems pretty simple to me. We could do that, but I get it. We want to slow down. I don't love the hodgepodge, 30, 40, 50, whatever, but fine. So let's just agree that we're not going to have uniformity in speed limits. Here's what I would do then with this provincial regulation. I would ignore it. I would 100%, I'm not joking, ignore it. What's the province going to do if the city doesn't waste money on the dumb, illogical, unnecessary sign 10 meters from a stop sign? I'll tell you what the province is going to do about it. Nothing. Because what's the impact? My guess would be, and I feel pretty confident in this, if somebody turned onto that arterial road and there was no signage indicating the changed speed limit and they were issued a speeding ticket, which is done under the Highway Traffic Act, which is provincial legislation, they might fight the ticket and successfully win because the provincial regulation had been ignored and the signage wasn't there. But how many times do you actually think that's going to happen? Honestly, like three in an entire year, maybe over a five-year period, people aren't going to be fighting their, you know, 61 and a 50 ticket a whole heck of a lot. So all cities have to do is ignore the provincial regulation. Engage in your own little bit of civil disobedience. I'm telling you, municipalities, do this. Save the money. Spend it on other things that are more important, more pressing. Maybe just keep the tax rate a little bit lower because you're not spending money on unnecessary signs. The province will never know. And if it does find out and it comes and slaps your wrist, say, oh, my bad, and then continue to ignore the regulation. Honest to goodness gracious, that's what I do. You don't need the damn signs. Stop posting them. This is the Mike Farwell Show, 570 News Radio and Rogers TV. Few minutes away from your update in the 570 News Center, and then a conversation about measles, which you, like me, might have thought were kind of taken care of. We have vaccines for that. It seems to be a reemergence of the disease. We'll talk about it after the 9:30 update. Right now, let's get to the phones and hear from you. Paul is with us. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. You're determined to get rid of those speed cameras.
Well, and the signs. I want the stupid signs gone, too.
Oh, yeah. Listen, once upon a time, those of some vintage will know that in the driver's handbook, one of the points in there was that within a residential built-up area, the speed limit is 30 miles per hour. Of course, now that's 50 kilometers per hour. Unless otherwise posted.
Yeah, it's sometimes...
As you came into a town...
Yes, they still say that. I think it still says that on 124 coming into Guelph, I'm pretty sure. But anyway.
Yeah, it says, you know, unless otherwise posted.
Yep.
Okay, so here's the thing. 50 kilometers an hour within the city limits. Doesn't matter if it's a school zone or not a school zone. 50 kilometers an hour and provide enforcement. It's not a cash grab, then it's actual safety, not just a cash grab. Enforcement.
All right. We'll go for enforcement. And as I mentioned during the Farwell Show 5 today, Regional Police out with an education campaign looking at the Fatal Four, which includes speeding, because we had a 50% increase in fatal collisions last year compared to 2023. But seriously, I suggested that we just go uniform with speed limits. That would be one way to eliminate the redundancy or the unnecessity. I don't think that's a word. Anyway, the unnecessary nature of these signs. But even if we can just agree that we'll never have uniformity because we want slower, 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 fine. I'm not joking. Not one little bit am I joking when I say, just don't follow the provincial regulation. I do not see any harm in not. What's the province going to do? If the rule is dumb, if it's wasting money, just don't do it. And if, and this is a massive if, like I can't imagine there's a department in the provincial government that's going to come by and say, you don't have a maximum 30 ends sign 10 meters from that stop sign. You better post one. I can't imagine there's a department that exists. But if it does, just tell them it's a stupid idea. And we're not going to follow your stupid idea because it's wasting money for our taxpayers. It's really that simple. I'm not joking one little bit when I say, just don't follow the regulation. If it's a bad regulation, it shouldn't be followed. This is the Mike Farwell Show, 570 News Radio and Rogers TV. You have no doubt heard that measles cases are on the rise here in Ontario, including in areas right around the region of Waterloo. Dr. Nicola Mercer is the Medical Officer of Health and CEO for Wellington Dufferin Guelph Public Health and joins the program this morning. Dr. Mercer, good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
What are you seeing by way of measles cases in the Wellington, Dufferin, Guelph area?
Yeah, it's a great question. We actually have had one case, and we've continued to follow a number of what I call possible cases. We haven't confirmed any cases yet. I think, though, that we're all a little bit on alert, I would say that, because we have, and I'm sure Waterloo does, we have populations and individuals who are unvaccinated. And measles is not your friend if you're not vaccinated. It's highly infectious. In fact, it is one of the most infectious diseases that we know of in the medical profession. So because of that, you can't really avoid it. If you go even to a big area like a large store like a Costco or a Walmart and somebody in that store has measles, you are at risk of getting measles. So that's how infectious it is. So if you're not vaccinated, you're definitely at risk.
Well, and the thing that gets me about the vaccination story with regard to measles, Dr. Mercer, is that this is a vaccine that's been around for 60-odd years now. And it surprises me. I remember as a child getting the MMR, right? The measles, mumps, rubella vaccine.
Yes, you probably did. Yeah, right. Actually, the first one that came out was a measles-only vaccine. But by the very early 1970s, we had combined it to measles, mumps, and rubella. So that's why we say that if you were born prior to 1970, you probably had measles because it's so infectious. Everybody did. If you were born after 1970, when we rolled out the vaccine, and in those days, parents really wanted it because they saw how sick children were and how unfortunately there were complications with measles. So parents wanted it for their children. And after 1970, the rates of measles dropped dramatically in Canada and in Ontario.
So is the uptake of this vaccine just not commonplace anymore?
I would say, first of all, I can speak very confidently about our area. We have pretty high rates of vaccine. But there was a time in the past, it occurred in the 90s, where there was some misinformation. There was, unfortunately, a physician over in Britain who actually did some very bad studies. Like they were actually unethical, they were false, he provided false information, and people got the idea that the MMR vaccine actually caused autism or maybe was bad for children. And as a result of that, we had a lot of parents who said, oh, I don't want that for my kids, rightfully so, and they didn't vaccinate. And that sort of myth has permeated for decades, and it's really hard to sort of get around that idea of this really false research that was based on, you know, false evidence, and it was terrible research, actually, and that individual lost his medical license, but still the legacy of that the MMR vaccine, that there's something bad about this vaccine, has persisted, and it's not true. This is a vaccine, like you said, that's been around for decades, and it prevents not just measles, but two other really serious diseases, rubella and mumps.
So how do we in the public health space then combat this? Is there a new education campaign that needs to be implemented?
Well, I think the first place is that we do have, in Ontario, we have the Immunization of School Pupils Act. So when your child is in school and they're over, they're 7 years of age or over, then you will get a notice from public health of all the vaccines that your child is eligible for that you have not yet had received. And that's your opportunity as a parent, if you didn't realize that your child was missing a vaccine, to make sure that your child is up to date on all the vaccines. Now, when it comes to the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine, a lot of that occurs prior to you getting into school, right? We give the first dose when your child's a year old, and we give the second dose when your child is between the ages of 4 and 6. So if your child's in daycare, if your child is you know, prior to entering school, then that is where you need to speak to your healthcare professional in order to understand, am I fully up to date with all the vaccines? And I know for many parents, oh, my kid doesn't like needles. There, you know, there's so many vaccines. Do I have to get them all at once? But these are actually in the best interest of your child. They really do protect your child from some pretty serious complications. I mean, I've seen the complications personally of you know, measles and rubella, mumps. I mean, there are some significant complications from, and these vaccines that are offered to your children are really there to keep them safe and to keep them healthier.
Is there any connection, Dr. Mercer, to these increased cases and incidents of measles and the lower vaccination rates and the increased vaccine hesitancy we have seen since COVID?
Oh, well, definitely they're related. So I think the first part is that we do have, even I can speak in my area, like if I look at my population of children, for example, I still have, every year, I have about 5% of my population that signs a medical exemption that says, I don't want to be vaccinated. I don't believe in it for either religious or conscientious beliefs. I don't believe in any vaccines. And so we have about 5% of our children and our adults who are unvaccinated because of that belief. And sometimes those groups of people that are believe strongly in not being vaccinated, they congregate together. So if it's a religious belief, or then they may all be in the same community. So you, when you have pockets of high unvaccinated individuals all together, you can imagine that that makes it much more likely, if you get one case in that community, that everybody gets it, as opposed to the unvaccinated cases being distributed equally over a population. So you're seeing that in the outbreaks that are occurring in southern Ontario, that there are some populations that are unvaccinated, and so you get one case, you get many cases, and a whole family or whole communities are exposed to a case of measles. And of course, what happened during COVID, although I think we've done really good at catching up, I know Waterloo and us have done a really stellar jobs at catching the kids up, but there was a time when during COVID, the kids were out of school. So if they're not in school, it's pretty hard to vaccinate them through the school-based programs. And some parents and some children missed the vaccines just because they weren't there, or because they maybe graduated while the pandemic was on. So there was a little bit of a lower, absolutely a lower vaccination rate. But those were for people who, in general, would have got the vaccines. And so what we're trying to do, and we done, I think, quite successfully last year, this year, is every child in the school, every school, making sure parents know these are the vaccines your kid's missing, and getting all of these kids caught up. Last year was a big lift. This year has been much better. Next week's our school suspension date for elementary schools, and I know Waterloo's has had some of theirs as well, too, and that's really just the gentle nudge for parents to vaccinate your children.
Dr. Mercer, we appreciate your time on the show this morning, as always. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you so much, Mike, for having me.
Enjoy your day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Dr. Nicola Mercer is the Medical Officer of Health and the CEO for Wellington Dufferin Guelph Public Health. I'm sure you have heard about the increasing incidence of measles in Ontario, a case, and presumably more in the Wellington Dufferin Guelph area. And the leading reason for it would be unvaccinated members of the population. Listen, I'll be the first to join you on the bandwagon of concern around, like, I don't like even taking Tylenol if I can help it. It's just not something, you know, I would rather be able to, you know, tolerate whatever discomfort I'm in the midst of or have my body deal with it naturally. But so many of these things, when we think about the effectiveness of vaccines, have been virtually eradicated because of vaccine improvements and widespread uptake in the population. To have them coming back certainly raises an eyebrow for me. What about for you? Love to hear from you on the show. Your voice is always welcome at 519-570-2545, star 570, and 1-800-570-5715. Your call's coming up on the Mike Farwell Show, 570 News Radio and Rogers TV.
Well, I think the first place is that we do have, in Ontario, we have the Immunization of School Pupils Act. So when your child is in school and they're over, they're 7 years of age or over, then you will get a notice from public health of all the vaccines that your child is eligible for that you have not yet had received. And that's your opportunity as a parent, if you didn't realize that your child was missing a vaccine, to make sure that your child is up to date on all the vaccines.
Dr. Nicola Mercer is the Medical Officer of Health and CEO for Wellington Dufferin Guelph Public Health, joins us today to talk about measles re-emerging in our communities. Why? Because we have more and more unvaccinated people within the population. Let's go to the phones, hear from you on this. Walter, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, Mike, back in the 60s when I was, I guess around 10, 12 years old or whatever, I ended up getting the measles, and it was in the springtime, and I remember all my cousins, and actually a Barkley Plager was there. He hung out with a friend of my mom's, and they were out on my grandparents' farm, and we're tapping trees. And I'm inside looking out the window, and I'm getting peeved, because everybody's outside having fun. Finally, I was told the only way I could go outside was I had to wear a pair of extra dark of sunglasses, and I guess the sun has some reaction to it. I'm not sure. Maybe you can check into that. I didn't even, you know, really think about that. But so I got to be involved there, but I had the measles, and then it was later that year, my younger brother, he ended up getting the mumps. And what do you know, what's even more funny about it is my mom was an avid movie maker, you know, and like of like home movies and stuff. So we actually have those on 16 millimeter or whatever it was that they used back then. Every once in a while, I pull them out because I had them transferred, and I show my kids, and it's just, you know, like they laugh their arse off over it. But yeah, like, they both came through my family, and that was, you know, pre-70s.
There you go. So live to tell the tale of measles and mumps, but pre-70s, when the vaccine got its greatest uptake beginning in the late 1960s, and then eventually we had all but eradicated the occurrences. Jackie, good morning.
Hi there. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. So I have my doctorate, so I understand science and the need for vaccinations, but I have firsthand experience with the reaction to the MMR vaccine. When I brought my son to have his vaccine at 1 year of age, his behavior just changed dramatically. Like, he was constantly rocking and back and forth and crying, and he stopped nursing, and he kept trying to bang his head on the tile floor.
So are you on the bandwagon that says the vaccine is dangerous, Jackie?
Well, since then he's had Asperger's, anxiety, depression.
Yeah, and you know what? Dr. Mercer talked about that, right? And there was A study that gained a lot of traction from a medical official in Britain who has since lost his license because the studies that he put forward were completely and utterly debunked. And look, I'm sure that there is nothing that's 100% these days across the board, safe, effective, et cetera. But these particular vaccines, measles, mumps, rubella, proven efficacy over many, many decades. And it's just, it's curious to me. Well, but I do get it, considering what we just went through with COVID-19 and the vaccines that came from that pandemic and our reactions to them, not physical reactions, but, you know, all of the conversations around them. And we weren't all that pleased with how it all played out. Lisa, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
I'm not going to speak to parents' choices of whether they vaccinate their kids or not. I seem to remember, and this probably gives my age away, that we had to actually submit our vaccinations to the school prior to going to school. But maybe I'm too old and I'm remembering it wrong. But my question is, why is the timing where they can actually suspend the kids almost the end of the year? Like, to me, okay, you choose not to vaccinate your kids. Maybe they shouldn't be in class with a whole bunch of other kids for most of the year prior to being told that they can't go to class anymore. That just seems a little off to me.
That's an interesting point, Lisa, and I appreciate the call and the thought around that. And I'm not going to claim to be an expert by any stretch, but just based on what Walter was talking about and having contracted measles in the spring, maybe this is when the disease is most likely to emerge and or spread. But that's a very good question. Why not at the beginning of a school year? And I know they do this at another time of the year, right? I'm pretty sure there is something in the fall. But yeah, maybe doing this with a greater sense of urgency around the schools. Make sure these vaccinations are up to date before you begin to, congregate with your classmates in those settings where viruses can easily spread. This is the Mike Farwell Show, 570 News Radio and Rogers TV. Every Thursday, we have a couple of recurring segments on the show, one of them being The Flip Side, which happens every Thursday morning at 11:30. Gives us a chance to take a break from the heavier stuff, have a little bit of fun. And I'm pretty sure, like, this was not a great visit to the neighborhood grocery store for my buddy's wife, but I think we can solve her problem pretty easily. And in fact, maybe give us all the roadmap for how to deal with, I don't know, people who see things differently than we do, don't behave in as courteous a manner as we behave. But I'm calling it the grocery store wars, and I'll tell you what happened to my buddy's wife in the grocery store this week. And maybe together at 11:30 this morning on The Flip Side, we can solve the problem. I think we can. I've got an easy answer, but I'm full of easy answers these days on the show, it seems. Another regular feature on Thursday mornings is at 10:30, just over 30 minutes from now, when Gary Chalk joins us for Living Retired, his humor column that he brings to our radio program every Thursday morning at 10:30. And we're going to talk about how happy we are to finally be rid of the month of February. But beware, not just the Ides of March, but the month itself, as spring and winter continue to do battle. My buddy at Environment Canada, Kitchener Cooney, likes to keep me abreast of things weather-wise. He knows how much I like it warm. And he said, you know, we've got some models later this month that are showing perhaps getting up to 20 degrees. But then yesterday he said, wait a minute, those same models have changed. And now it looks like we're going to be like sub-zero and snowing later this month. So enjoy what we've got right now. Remember, the battle between winter and spring continues to rage on. And when Gary Chalk joins us in 30 minutes, we'll talk about how glad we are. We got rid of February. Like, hope springs eternal now, right? An update from the 570 News Center is on the way. And then let's meet a pilot from Kitchener, now flying missions in Haiti. This is the Mike Farwell Show, 570 News Radio and Rogers TV. We're joined on the show this morning by Deb Edwards, who flies missions in Haiti with Mission Aviation Fellowship. Deb hails originally from Kitchener, and I wanted to learn more, Deb, about this journey from our beautiful little city of Kitchener to flying in Haiti, but even flying generally, because getting one's pilot's license is no simple task. You graduated from St. Mary's High School in Kitchener. I know that much. What led you into ultimately getting your pilot's license? What were the steps along the way?
Yeah, absolutely. So initially, I knew I wanted to do mission aviation, but I was like, how do I pay for this? This is an expensive venture. And I'm like, I'm in high school. Like, I don't have money. So I just started applying for every scholarship I could find. I'm grateful I received one towards the end of high school. So that's when I knew, okay, I can start flying as soon as I graduate. So I worked through the summer and then started that September. I think learning to fly was a learning curve for me. I had always been kind of one of those more nerdy, book smart kids. And now actually having to perform a task based off of what I learned was new to me. It was very hands-on, obviously. So that just took some getting used to, and I definitely credit, you know, my instructors for sticking with me and helping me develop, you know, studying strategies and things like that. I worked a lot on the side, applied for more scholarships to help pay my way. So I think aviation, like, for people who are interested, it's definitely worth it. I have no regrets, but it is a lot of hard work.
Where did you get your hours?
So I initially did my training at the Waterloo Wellington Flight Center. Then, because I saw all these, like, you know, crazy videos about MAF online of landing on the sides of mountains and stuff, I was like, I should really get some mountain flying experience. So I moved out into Western Canada to finish my commercial license. I finished that on a float plane to build float mountain hours. And then I got a job in Northern BC. So that's where I built the bulk of my hours, instructing students, doing charters, fire patrols, and surveys.
This has taken you a long way from the region of Waterloo. How do you feel about that kind of life experience in different parts of the country and the world?
I love to travel. Obviously, I miss home, and Kitchener will always have a special place in my heart. But I love traveling. I love learning. I love learning about different cultures. I feel like I've been able to make friends from all kinds of backgrounds, and I just feel like that's so invaluable.
How do mom and dad feel about it all?
They're very supportive. I think, you know, there are some nerves. I'm always going to be their daughter. I'm the youngest too. So there are times where they're nervous, but I think they kind of keep a cap on it because they're like, oh, but we're so proud of you. Like, keep going. You're doing great. And like I said, they always really had a heart for giving back. So I think they're super excited to see me doing that with my career. They feel really good about it.
Is there such a thing, Deb, as a typical mission that you might fly with Mission Aviation Fellowship?
That's a great question. It varies. I mean, a lot of the missions we work with, for example, might be a medical mission. I know a lot of the hospitals here, the only way they can get medicine is us flying in. During the lull of us flying between evacuating and now where we're getting back up and going, I know people whose family hasn't been able to get medicine because, you know, the nurse, they come into the hospital, the nurse says, the little plane isn't coming anymore in Creole. You know, the little plane isn't here. That's us. So that stuff really kind of breaks your heart. So yeah, a lot of that is, you know, bringing medicine to places. A lot of missions that we work with in country have a very kind of holistic approach to care. So they'll do discipleship and Bible teaching for communities that have an interest in that and who are asking for that, as well as, you know, come alongside and say, how can we develop your community? Can we develop, you know, clean water, education, medical needs? So a lot of community development work, you know, discipleship work and medical work, I would say, are our primary partnerships in country.
Do you ever see yourself doing anything else with that pilot's license? Air Canada, WestJet, Flair Airlines out of YKF, or is this where your heart lies?
This is really where my heart lies. I just love this work. I think you're allowed to fly overseas until you're 65 or something. I'd love to get as close to that as I can. That gives me about 40 years or something. I mean, we'll see where life takes me. But yeah, I mean, water bombers are really cool. You know, maybe someday I'll retire into that or something. But yeah, I love to see the impact that we make every day.
I love hearing about a 25-year-old talking about when she's 65. Let me tell you, when you get closer to 65, Deb, then you can talk about it more.
There we go.
What a great story. And I'm so glad you could carve out time in your busy schedule for us today. Thanks for doing what you do. You're an inspiration to many, I have no doubt. And it's great to catch up with a Kitchener kid doing these wonderful things in another part of the world. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me, Mike. It's great to meet you virtually. And yeah, thank you for what you do as well.
Deborah Edwards joining us on the show today, a pilot from Kitchener, now flying with Mission Aviation Fellowship in Haiti. This is the Mike Farwell Show, 570 News Radio and Rogers TV. Couple of things happening right here at home before we get to your update in the 570 News Center. We were talking earlier today, following up on a conversation from the show yesterday, about the speed cameras in Wellington County. 6 weeks, $1.2 million in revenue generated by those cameras in just 6 weeks. Now, that's gross revenue after everything is taken out, paid for, whatever. The county itself has received about $450,000, but it budgeted for the year an estimated $1 million in revenue. For the year, it's got almost half that in 6 weeks. And that prompted an email from Anne because she was responding to Dennis's call and ticket for doing 61 in a 50. Anne's email to Mike at 570news.com. Says, any chance that Dennis got that ticket on Brock Road in Aberfoyle? I got one there too, my first speeding ticket in 48 years of driving. I'm angry, and somehow I can't believe I was going 68 in a 50, which is what the ticket says, because I'm always very careful through that area. But I guess the camera doesn't lie? Question mark. I've been driving home from work that way for 13 years. I might have to find a different way to drive home. So Anne was hoping that we could share by way of a public service announcement, watch out for the new speed camera on Brock Road in Aberfoyle, one of the new cameras operating in Wellington County that have brought in $1.2 million in revenue in the first 6 weeks. The other thing that caught my attention this morning, one of our reporters was out at a rally by the union. There are about 220 people from an outside workers union with the region that are on strike and have been now for more than a week. And my question is, like, have you ever seen a stranger strike, if I can put it that way? Because we heard some rumblings leading up to the beginning of the strike, which began last Monday, but not a whole lot on the part of the region in terms of impact or concern about impact. Yes, landfill sites are closed to the public. Generally, we as residents of this region are not feeling the impact day to day. At least I'm not in my house, at least not yet. But the other thing that makes this so strange to me is that, well, there are two parts. One is the union said there had been an offer that the region withdrew rather suddenly. And my first question around that was, well, why didn't you take the offer when it was tabled to you? What changed or what made you hesitant? And then, you know, the concern expressed around that offer being removed. If that offer was there, what was wrong with it that you didn't take it? But the other thing is this past weekend when the region said, we're getting back to negotiating, and the union says there were no negotiations at all. So I guess it sounds like the region is open to continuing negotiations, but maybe the union is not. I can't quite wrap my head around it, but it strikes me as odd a strike as I've seen in my time covering these things. I just can't figure out where the issues are, why the sides aren't talking, what the impact is, and this odd back and forth between union and employer, and we can't really figure out who's telling us the truth in all of it. Strange times indeed. An update from the 570 News Center, and then Gary Chalk joins us for Living Retired, a little humor for your Thursday morning on the Mike Farwell Show. 570 News Radio.
Ooka chaka, ooka, ooka, ooka chaka, ooka, ooka, ooka chaka, ooka, ooka, ooka chaka, ooka, ooka, ooka.
I can't stop this feeling deep inside of me. Girl, you just don't realize what you do to me. When you hold me in your arms so tight, you let me know everything's all right. I'm hooked on a feeling.
Well, that song can mean only one thing. It is Thursday morning, and from Ooga Chaka, Ooga Chaka, it's Gary Chaka, Gary Chaka. Gary Chalk writes the humor column, Living Retired. You can find it online, livingretired.press. And make sure when you do go to livingretired.press, you sign up for the weekly newsletter. The column will be delivered directly to your inbox. It's always good for a chuckle. And Gary, with his sense of humor, joins us for a chuckle every Thursday morning at this time. Mr. Chalk from the home offices in the telephone city of Brantford. How the heck are you?
Hey, good morning, Mike. I'm doing good, Mike with a mic. We've been doing some cleaning in the basement, and I know Jan's a ferocious reader, and I read a little bit too. But so we came across books that she's had. Do you remember the book? You may not have read it. It was called Women Are from Venus, Men Are from Mars.
Do I remember it, Gary? So I must confess, and this shows that you're into the Living Retired. I'm not quite there yet, but I was a little bit young, or maybe I was just too stubborn at that age to decide to read a book like this. But I remember it coming into our house.
Yeah.
My parents loved it, and I've never forgotten the title.
Isn't that interesting? I always thought it had the wrong title. I thought it should have been titled Women Are from Venus and Men Are from Home Hardware.
How about this? Women are right and men are wrong.
Hey, there's a bestseller. Oh, my gosh. You know, it's interesting. Women have feelings. Men, we have duct tape.
Oh, I like this. Yes.
Yeah, and also women have intuition, which I finally looked up what the definition of women's intuition. I wrote it down. It says a woman's ability to intuitively, that's the key word, a woman's ability to intuitively understand or sense things without relying on logical reasoning or any evidence.
Gary, does Jan listen to this show every Thursday morning?
So on oh, my gosh.
Oh, I like it.
Oh, I'll tell you. Men, on the other hand, I'll use myself as an example here. Last thing we want to hear from my wife is when she says, dear, can we talk? Oh, it just strikes fear, those four words. Can we talk, dear? Now I'm going to have to put down the television remote, and I'm going to have to talk something different than Rangers in the playoffs.
Yeah, well, and this is the thing. And the duct tape isn't as handy when Jan says, Gary, can we talk?
Exactly. And it's that women's intuition, their ability to be in touch with their feelings, that men, we just don't have. I'm convinced, Mike, the reason men don't know it's time to change the empty bag of milk in the pitcher, because we don't have intuition. We just don't know. You just sort of go in and you expect it to always be full. Do you change the milk jug at your place?
Is there a milk jug that needs changing, Gary? Are you trying to tell me something?
Well, I don't even have to go to the fridge. It's just left on the counter where I last put it down.
A little bit of room temperature milk never hurt anybody.
No, exactly. Women also have a sixth sense. I mean, if five isn't enough, they've got six. I mean, how can you explain? Just think back. Middle of the night, the baby is crying, and men can sleep right through somehow, and it's their wife that always gets up. That's a universal trait.
It is absolutely true. They do have that sixth sense because I think, Gary, they care more about other people. We just care about ourselves.
There's nothing wrong with that. just to build on that, how we care about ourselves. You know, we express our inner feelings when we give someone the finger for cutting us off on the parkway.
That's a good expression. It speaks without speaking, and it shares feelings. I mean, listen, counselors tell us all the time, Gary, that we need to share our emotions more.
You have to get them out on the table.
Absolutely.
Or out of the steering wheel in that case. I prefer to do my talking with a skill saw out on the deck. Now, that involves a different kind of talking. The air gets pretty blue from both the smoke from trying to start the darn thing and just from me complaining because I didn't measure twice.
My buddy's dad always said he had a special language for when he was working around the house. And and we weren't sure what the name of the tool was. We thought the name of the tool was things I can't say right now. You know, is that a saw or is that a bleepity bleep bleep bleep?
Yeah. Well, Jan always says, light bulb needs to be replaced. Go get your hammer, Gary. That's where I'm at.
It's like Chevy Chase, Clark Griswold in Christmas Vacation. Fixed the newel post, got rid of it completely.
Another thing, Jan comes home, and sure, it's got to be like this in most other households. The wife comes home, first thing she does is head for the thermostat, and she cranks it up to the only setting that they think exists, which is volcano. When I come in, I set it down to igloo. And then immediately, Jan will say, here, feel how cold my hands are. How do you expect me to type on my keyboard with these mitts on? And that's in July.
I could never handle mittens and a typewriter because I'm a hunt and pecker still. I just use index finger here, index finger there.
That's my typing style.
Yep.
And also, of course, you know, men's body temperature. Ours is related to how much hot sauce we pour at our chicken wings. Women's body temperature, it's either cold or colder.
There you go.
Oh, my gosh. And Jan comes home, has a glass of wine. First thing I do is grab a beer, burp, fall in my lazy boy chair, burp, turn on the big screen television, belch, turn the volume up.
Well, because something needs to mask the sound of those belches.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. You know, when you think about it, you wonder, is what came first, divorce lawyers or marriage? You just not know where that's going. And the other thing, and I'll just sort of cut, I can go on forever. Experts tell us that marriage is a series of ups and downs you have to sort of weather. Well, the last up I had was 1967 when the Leafs hoisted the cup. I've been on a down ever since.
Oh, Gary, why? Why must we endure this misery?
Well, it's because we go through February, and I don't know about you, but I'm suffering the February blahs.
Oh, my goodness. I think they were blah-ier than ever. We'll explore. We will explore that whole idea of the month that we are so glad is gone. I like to call it February, because it gets the F out. Sorry for that. Gary Chalk writes the humor column, Living Retired. He joins us every Thursday morning to bring it to life on the show. Blahs, blah, 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 coming up. Stay with us. It's the Mike Farwell Show on 570 News Radio and Rogers TV. Every Thursday morning at this time, Gary Chalk, who writes the humor column, Living Retired, joins us here on the show. Strongly recommend you check out Gary's work online, livingretired.press. And it's so easy when you're there to sign up for the weekly newsletter. And then the column will just pop into your inbox and it beats the heck out of another memo from the boss. I promise you that. Get a little chuckle. And Gary brings Living Retired to our show every Thursday morning. So we were talking, Gary, just before the break about the February blahs, which I think we can all relate to and maybe even relate to more than ever after this particular February that we just endured.
Boy, the month that just kept on giving, didn't it? My goodness. I always remember Barbara Walters. Remember, Mike, she used to always do interviews. If you could be a tree, what kind of a tree would you be? Remember those questions?
Absolutely, I do.
Well, if you had to be a month, do you know what month you would want to be? Have you ever thought of that?
You know what? I haven't, but at first blush, I'll just use my birth month. And I want to stay August because it's warm then. Is that okay?
Yeah, okay. That's sort of agree. I'll tell you this. I wouldn't want to be February because February is, well, we know, we're just experiencing snowing, shoveling, and sickness. And if that's not enough, February can't make up its mind how many days it has. You know, 28, is it 29, whatever. But I did some other checking. July, in July, if you wanted to be in that month, the July 3rd, National Eat Your Beans Day.
National Eat Your Beans Day, I love it.
but I don't make this stuff up. That's followed the next day by National Cheer Up the Lonely Day. So you eat your beans, then you go visit and cheer someone up.
Uh-huh, I can see how that might work.
Oh, February, of course, features Robbie Burns Day. Did you celebrate?
I should have, but no, I was all out of haggis, Gary. That's the problem. You know, I always keep a good supply around, but gosh darn it, on Robbie Burns Day, it wasn't there.
Well, you never know. You can use it to seal the windows. You know, there's something good in everything. I mean, nothing against the Scots, but, you know, I mean, there's nothing to like about buttery shortbread cookies or some Scotch whiskey, but haggis, I think that's nothing but a fancy word for yak dung.
Gary Chalk, behave yourself. I have never had the courage. I've never had the courage.
Well, many years ago, we were invited to a Robbie Burns dinner. I don't know. We were naive. We went. And during dinner, then they had this big ceremony, and a platter of haggis was piped in by a guy wearing a kilt. And so far, so good. I mean, everybody loves pageantry. But then they got out this ceremonial sword, and the haggis was cut all into little itty-bitty bite-sized pieces. And this is when I realized the Scots have gall. They served it to unsuspecting guests. And Jan tasted it. And she first thing she said, Gary, I think haggis is something you need to acquire a taste for.
Uh-huh.
I said, where's the bathroom? Sort of makes you wonder, when haggis was brought into the country, shouldn't our Department of Defense read the recipe and intervened?
There you go. Hey, dear Donald Trump, if you want to tariff something, how about, with apologies to our Scottish friends, right, are those weird enough to actually like haggis? Right.
Or, for that matter, when the recipe for haggis was, where was the Canadian Senate? Were they asleep at the switch?
Yes.
Oh, sorry, that's their job.
Exactly. I should have put that, you know, last week we talked about bucket lists. I should have put that on my bucket list. I'd love to be a senator, Gary.
Oh, boy, I'll tell you. The only time you wake up is to check that your paycheck was deposited.
Bingo.
That's right. Oh, my goodness. I also checked there's other ways to survive the winter doldrums that we've been coming through in the February blast. For starters, February 27th was, here it comes, No Brainer Day. And it was some guy down in the States who came up with No Brainer Day. And he said the purpose of No Brainer Day is to avoid doing anything that requires effort. Previous comment, Canadian Senate, that was the first thing that came to my mind. And then there's this one. The day after No Brainer Day, National Sleeping Day. You just don't wake up for the day. Just stay in bed. And when you're living retired, that's not a celebration. That's every day.
It sounds like management around here at the radio station, to be honest with you, Gary.
Management everywhere.
Oh, yeah. True enough.
So we can look forward to March. Lots of things in March. Spring thaw. You know, the water in the basement trick. Sump pump doesn't work. Spring cleaning. Get to climb up a ladder and take some Windex up and clean your windows and have your wife screaming on the other side, no, you missed a spot over here. That's what it's all about. It's a two-person job. Spring break, we have that to look forward to. You know, standing in long lines at airports or sitting in your car in long lines at the border. spring training with the Blue Jays, and we feel like they're gonna win the World Series before you know it. And then before you know it, March is over with, and we move into April and income tax time. That's National Lie Month.
Is there any dispute? That's why April the 1st is April Fool's Day. Income tax, and yeah, lie to the auditor, whatever you do.
They set it all up. I have a good friend. He is retired from the CRA as an accountant. And he always relates the story, Mike, at the time that he was helping his son, and when they moved into their townhouse, when they got married, they had to get a picnic table over three or four fences to his. So he actually paid somebody to do it for them, and the guy in front of my friend, who's the retired CRA accountant, the FI, said, "I only take cash because I don't want to pay any taxes."
We could all learn something from a guy like that, Gary.
You got it. Just be careful who you're talking to.
Gary Chalk is the humor columnist who writes Living Retired. You can find it online, livingretired.press. Make sure when you go there, you sign up for the weekly newsletter so it gets delivered right into your inbox. And Gary joins us every Thursday morning at this time to bring the column to life on our show and give us a little laugh. We're chuckling still, Gary. Thanks for another great week.
Hey, have a happy sump month.
Happy sump month to you indeed, my friend. Bye-bye.
Take care, Mike.
Gary Chalk, humor columnist, Living Retired, joins the Mike Farwell Show every Thursday morning right here on 570 News Radio and Rogers TV. Oh, Marino, I love you, and I'm positive that you are a happily married man for many a decade now. I'm just going out on a limb and assuming that based on the email that Marino sends to Mike at 570news.com. If women are always right and men are always wrong, if I say my wife is right, am I wrong? You're a funny guy, Marino, and I'm sure that's why your wife has tolerated you for all of these many decades. But an excellent question posed as Marino listened in to our conversation with Gary Chalk. Gary writes a humor column called Living Retired. It's a lot of fun to have Gary on the show every week. He's actually an old radio guy way back in the day. We were not there at the same time, but Gary and I both worked at the same radio station in Brantford at different times. And Gary went on to do other much more important things with his life. But you can hear in his voice that connection that he still has to broadcasting and to radio specifically. And we always enjoy the Living Retired humor column that's brought to life on our show each and every week. Remember, you can find the column online, livingretired.press, and you can sign up for it right there and have it delivered to your inbox, and then you can ask those existential questions like Marino asks. If women are always right and men are always wrong, if I say my wife is right, am I wrong? Yes, I think that should be the answer I give. You are always wrong, Marino, just like I am, and your partner is always right. I am going to get you to the 570 News Center for an update. Remember, coming up in just over 30 minutes, we're going to try to solve a grocery war that my buddy's wife got himself involved in. That's our flip side conversation this morning. I think I have the answer. I think it's an easy one, but maybe you feel differently. Also, before 11:30, how the Child Witness Center wiped out its waiting list. And just after this update from the 570 News Center, it's a total eclipse of the moon tonight, the only time it happens in 2025. The great, the wonderful, the magnificent Orbax joins us next on the Mike Farwell Show. This is 570 News Radio. I had every intention of starting this segment with Bonnie Tyler's Total Eclipse of the Heart. But Bonnie, because the song's produced by Jim Steinman of Meatloaf fame, Bonnie takes like 2 minutes plus to get to the actual chorus of the song. I suppose I could have started right into the chorus, but the buildup's pretty good. It's a great song. And the reason I was thinking of it, of course, is because forget a total eclipse of the heart. It's a total eclipse of the moon. The only such eclipse we will have this year. And it happens in the overnight hours tonight, the great, the magnificent, the wonderful science communicator Orbax from the University of Guelph joins the show. My good friend, the magnificent, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing today, Mike?
I'm doing just fine, thanks, Orbax. How are you?
Oh, good. I'm sitting in my backyard in an attempt to will spring into existence by visualizing it as much warmer than it is.
I love it. Well done. And I get the sense that somebody like you, who does what you do for a living, would also be sitting in the backyard in anticipation of tonight's lunar event. Like, days like this must get you really excited.
Talk about incredible segues. That was fantastic. Yeah, no, I'm pretty excited about today. This is our first total lunar eclipse that will be visible in our region since 2022. So I always love a red moon, and I think it's a great opportunity. Like I always say, it's a great opportunity to start talking about science and STEM with the young people in your life.
So what happens during a total eclipse of the moon?
So we remember in April last year, we had the solar eclipse that took place. And in a solar eclipse, the moon gets between where we are on Earth and our view of the sun. Now, in a lunar eclipse, it's the same three things, but it's kind of in a different order. And the Earth gets in between the sun and the moon. A full moon, the moon itself doesn't generate light. So a full moon is the light that's reflected off of the sun back at us. But in this lunar eclipse, we get in the way and we actually cast our shadow onto the full moon.
So will it just be darkened then? Like, we usually see this bright white thing in the sky. Does it get darkened because of our shadow?
Yeah, well, this is actually the fun thing, is that in the case of a solar eclipse, you get to see that cookie cutter bite come across the sun until the sun completely disappears. And a similar thing happens with the moon. You kind of see that cookie cutter bite being taken out of it for a while, and then it goes dark, and then mysteriously it turns red. And that's the big reason why they call it a blood moon. So this thing will turn red for about an hour between 2:30 and 3:30 in the morning this coming morning.
Now, not just a blood moon because it turns red, but this particular moon this month, come on, Orbax, the full worm, like, are you trying to make me say inaccurate or goofy things on the radio? The full worm blood moon.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah, it's got probably the most ridiculous moniker we're going to get this year in terms of astronomical phenomena. But it's the March full moon is known as the worm moon, and that's because... not yet, but hopefully soon it'll thaw out enough that the worms will start making their way to the surface as food for the birds. And the moniker of blood moon is associated with that lunar eclipse. So we just happen to have a full worm blood moon taking place. And add on top of that, it takes place in the morning of March 13th, which is 3/14 or Pi Day.
Oh, my gosh. See, I made you say full worm blood moon too, by the way, just so you know.
I've been saying it all day.
Now, we know, and you referenced last April, that solar eclipse, a mm-hmm. lunar eclipse, Orbax. Can we just, as we stay up late tonight and maybe, you know, call in tired tomorrow, but can we look at the lunar eclipse with the naked eye?
Yeah, that's a great point, because I stressed so much in April that we needed to wear glasses or safety protection to look at the solar eclipse because, as I mentioned many times, we're not supposed to stare at the sun. Yeah, exactly. But it's okay to look at the moon, right? And so that's one of the great things about this is you don't need any sort of protective equipment. You just need to stay up late. So you can watch it with the unaided eye. If you got a pair of binoculars kicking around at home, as long as you can see that moon, you're going to be able to watch it take place.
Is there anything that might obstruct our view tonight? I suspect cloud cover would be the biggest obstacle.
Just clouds, my friend, but they're calling for clear skies, so fingers crossed, I guess. The big thing is that it does start, the early parts of it will start around midnight, so you don't necessarily have to stay up super late, and it's going to run until about 6 a.m., so you could get up early. But if you're looking for a chance to see it in that blood red tone, you're going to want to check it out between 2:30 and 3:30. But it's March break. So maybe it's a good opportunity to have a late night pop-up with the young people in your life, get out in the backyard and take a look up.
That is a very good point. March break. And then, so this is a gradual process happening between midnight and 6 a.m., but that 2:30 to 3:30 window is the sweet spot, or 2:30 to 3 for the full red moon that we'll experience.
Yeah, that's the sweet spot. You know, it actually turns red because if you... you know, we're blocking the light from the sun. That's why it falls into our shadow. But the atmosphere of the Earth, as that light goes through, the sunlight goes through the Earth's atmosphere, it acts kind of like a prism. And in the same way that a prism splits the colors of light and separates them and sends them off in different directions, the atmosphere does the same thing. So all the other wavelengths of light shoot out into space and we don't see it, and only the red light heads towards the moon.
It's a great opportunity, as you've pointed out, to inspire the young people in our lives taking in something like this. And I know even outside such events, you do that through the work that you do, YouTube, etc. Where can we find you, Orbach, so we can continue to inspire even beyond these events?
Well, if you want to go to the Guelph Physics YouTube page, you can go and check it out. And I've got in my March Stargazing Guide.
That was a pretty hard drop off. Orbach's just disappeared, just like that. It's almost as if the eclipse got in the way of his cell phone signal. But that's okay. You got the gist. You know what's happening tonight in the wee hours. The sweet spot is 2:30 until 3. Have at it if you've got that kind of stamina. But this will be a gradual process between midnight and 6. And I did just want to point out that YouTube page through the University of Guelph's Physics Department. Orbach puts out a monthly stargazing guide, among other videos. It's lots of fun. He's a great guy and a great character. And what a way to inspire the young people in our lives to check out more about the universe that we exist in. This is the Mike Farwell Show on 570 News Radio and Rogers TV.
This is where today's topics turn into today's talking points. It's local and it's Democratic radio at its finest. This is the Mike Farwell Show on 570 News Radio.
53,500 dollars. This week, we expect to wipe out our wait list. As you may recall, our wait list started in August of 2022 and at its highest at 204 children.
You may have seen on Sunday at the game, Rangers Reach and the Rangers announced a $90,000 commitment to the Child Witness Center to help them with their programming. And with our donation plus some others, they were able to wipe out their waiting list. And that is huge.
The Mike Farwell Show continues
on 570 News Radio.
A little combination there of Robin Heald, who is the executive director of the Child Witness Center in Kitchener, and Craig Campbell, the executive director of Rangers Reach, who was with us on the show yesterday. That Rangers Reach commitment you heard Craig mention, and the $53,000 that you heard Robin mention, was the amount fundraised at the annual pancake luncheon in support of the Child Witness Center. Robin joins me in studio. So nice to see you. Thanks for being here.
I'm so excited to be here.
Well, what a time. I mean, coming off a very successful $53,000 fundraiser with your annual big event to the elimination of a wait list. Can we start there? I mean, this goes back to August of 2022, as you mentioned at the pancake luncheon. And here you are able to say that currently every child is being served.
Isn't that exciting?
It is.
As a former victim and witness, I know what it's like to go through the journey without those supports. And my journey was quite long, and two journeys through the judicial process. So with that experience, I feel so passionate about our wait list. And I absolutely know being waitlist free is not a permanent thing. I know that we are going to have those waves, those surges of intake after every school holiday. We know that happens. We're not at the level where we are so strongly funded that we're not going to feel those surges and the pain from that. But we also know that we want to scale up and serve even more children with more police units in our space. And every time we scale up, we know that it's going to stretch our services a little bit more.
How did you get here? How were you able to eliminate that wait list?
We focused a tiny bit on our endowment fund. So our endowment fund is our only sustainable piece of funding. And right now it only covers 1%, less than 1% of our entire annual budget. And so focusing a little bit on developing that. So long-term strategies and balancing that out with a lot of hunting and gathering. 22% of our budget is covered by allocated government funding from different levels of the government, which we're very thankful for. But that that's in comparison to adult victim services that is funded by the provincial government at 100%. So what we do is we competitively compete with all those other worthy organizations for 32% of our government funding, 32% of our budget, which is government funded. And then the other 46% of our budget, we scrap for. We have fundraisers and we go out and ask and ask and ask. And we have so many people that have come forward with those amazing supports for us.
I think that when we give some thought to the name of the organization, Child Witness Center, we probably have some idea of what goes on there and the supports that you provide. But can you fill in the gaps for us, Robin? What does the Child Witness Center do?
We have three main programs. We have our advocacy program, Child Youth Advocacy Center, where we're in the Camino building with all kinds of other team members that provide holistic wraparound support for children and their families when they come in for those initial investigations and interviews. So basically serving them for the first 3 months with all of those referrals, making sure that they have every single community tool at their disposal while they travel that investigative journey. As soon as charges are laid, they go to our Child Witness Program, where they are served with sometimes about a year to 6 years of support as they go through the judicial process, depending on how long their journey is, and continuing all of those supports through those years, working with them on court prep skills, looking at evidence together, preparing them for getting a subpoena. So that can be scary for a child. And victim impact statements, which is one of the hardest things on that journey for a child to do, is to talk about not just the experience, but the impact that it's had on them and those people around them. And for them to recognize that is really, really hard. And then we have another program, which is very preventative in nature, our youth symposium that's coming up in April. And we spend 3 days with grade 8 students being bused in from local schools. 1,000 children a day come into a local Galaxy Theater, and they have speaker after speaker come in front of them to inspire them and give them all kinds of incredible information.
It certainly takes a community effort to achieve the elimination of that wait list, the scrapping that you're out there doing with your big fundraiser, which we know is that pancake luncheon, the 1,000 challenge that we talked about last time you were here, the support from Rangers Reach, et cetera. But the team also, Robin, means a lot. And I mean that team internal to Child Witness Center. When last we talked, you were here with a caseworker, Laura, who has celebrated 25 years now with Child Witness.
How exciting is that?
Incredible.
Yes, yes. So 25 years, and Laura has touched so many children. And Laura has a sidekick, Monet, who she shares with a few other caseworkers. And the impact that Laura has had on children, amplified by, our possum teammate, Monet. We're so blessed. We're so very blessed that people are so actively engaged. Laura and Monet have had people come back to visit and say, hey, you had an impact. And that's kind of cool. Hundreds of children have been impacted by her dedication and amazing support.
I believe I saw Monet with you all at the Kitchener Rangers game on the weekend when Rangers Reach was making that presentation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Monet has her own Instagram page, too.
She does. She does. And the most amazing news is we know that Monet has had such an incredible impact, and she's with our Child Witness Program. We have signed up to get Dog X. We don't know whether it's a boy or girl yet, but we're actually getting a new facility dog for our Child Youth Advocacy Center. So when those children are coming in on investigation days, that they'll have a dog if they have an affinity for four-legged furry friends. And we're pretty excited about expanding that impact. We know how impactful Monet has been, and we are scaling up once again in yet another way.
So now that you're here, and by here I mean having achieved the elimination of this wait list, I know that you don't rest on your laurels, Robin. What is next? What is the Child Witness Center preparing for next?
So we have a new fund development committee. We knew we needed to scale up what we were doing and how we were doing it. So we have a fund development committee, and we're always looking for people to do that or third-party events. And we're also looking for volunteers for our symposium. Our symposium is incredibly impactful. We know that, you know, we have to spend some time on prevention. We just can't be responsive. We have to be ahead of the game and giving all of these grade 8 students the tools that they're going to need as they navigate high school. We know the statistics. We know that some of them statistically will be a victim or witness in their lifetime. And if we can give them as many tools as we can, we're over the moon.
I think what you're doing is great. I'm so happy to hear of the success, not only at the Pancake Luncheon, but eliminating that wait list. And thanks for all the work that you do to support kids in our community. It means a lot.
And to you as well. Just having a collaborative team in the community supporting us and championing for us makes all the difference.
I'm going to point you to the website childwitness.com. There you can learn more. You can make a donation. You can sign up to be that volunteer that we need for that youth symposium coming up in April. Robin Heald, the executive director of Child Witness Center, thank you again for being here.
Thanks so much.
This is the Mike Farwell Show, 570 News Radio and Rogers TV. So what would you do? How would you handle the situation? That's the question we're going to put to you during The Flip Side, which is coming up right after this update from the 570 News Center. My buddy and I were talking about this, and it happened to his wife while she was out shopping. I think there are a number of things at play here. One is we're all probably a little bit less patient than we used to be. At least that's the sense that I get. And grocery shopping is increasingly stressful because it sure as heck ain't getting cheaper, right? But for me, there was a pretty easy way out of this particular situation. And it's not a way, if I'm being honest with you, that my beloved would approve of me taking all the time, but it's the way I tend to take, you know, the easy way, if you will. Anyway, I'll share my thoughts on what transpired, and you can tell me what you think of what happened and how you might have handled it, whether you handle it the same or you handle it differently. Because, you know, we all ought to have manners, and maybe we should just teach people their manners. Give them a lesson right there in the produce aisle. The story coming up, your thoughts and how you would respond during The Flip Side. This is the Mike Farwell Show, 570 News Radio. Every Thursday morning, we take a little break from the heavy stuff and we have a little bit of fun on a segment we call The Flip Side. Heck, last week's Flip Side led me to the opportunity to watch again for the first time since I don't even know when. It's been decades, though. I watched The Cannonball Run again. I also finished watching the Cobra Kai series. I guess I've had some time on my hands this past week and I used it appropriately to do nothing, which, by the way, is underrated. Doing nothing is underrated. Okay, so today I'm going to share with you a story from my life. Well, my good buddy, and this happened to his wife at the grocery store. And I think I should start with saying, I'm not saying my buddy's wife is a jerk. I'm just saying that maybe if she had handled this differently, the outcome would have been different. But this is why I bring these stories to you. My friends know this, that I joke with them. Everything is show prep. So any conversation we have or anything that happens to us that I find interesting or I think, you know what? The fine, loyal listeners of the Mike Farwell Show might get a kick out of this too. I bring it to the show. So here is what happened. My buddy's wife is at the grocery store. She's at the grocery store for the weekly shopping and also realizes or knows that there's a sale on some berries over in the produce section. So she wants to make sure she checks it out. And being the savvy shopper that she is, she knows that when she goes there and there's something on sale, you might want to just make sure there's nothing moldy or mushy or whatever in that particular basket or bag of fruit that you're buying. So she goes over to the sale area and there is a woman in front of her doing the exact same thing, examining the berries before making her purchase. My buddy's wife, being the wonderful person that she is, politely waits her turn. It's like 30 seconds, whatever. This woman moves out of the way. My buddy's wife moves in, starts doing her own examination of the fruit that's on sale. And after mere seconds, another woman comes in and essentially buds in front of her at the berry shelf. Okay? Now, this is where things start to escalate. That escalated quickly. But my buddy's wife is a little miffed by this. I mean, she was there first. She waited for the person in front of her. Why can't this other shopper extend the same courtesy? And so my buddy's wife decides to point out to this other shopper that maybe she should wait her turn. And this turns into a bit of a back and forth between, like, can you just imagine being the witness to this in the grocery store? In this day and age, I'm surprised it hasn't been posted to social media yet, that somebody didn't see the confrontation in the berry aisle and then post it to a social media platform. Anyway, it's nothing major. It's just like, you know, I waited my turn. Maybe, do you think you could have waited your turn? Like, you butted in front of me here. So they exchange words a little bit. But then what really makes this interesting is the second shopper's husband or boyfriend inserts himself into the situation and starts getting kind of in the face of my buddy's wife. And she stands her ground. She's like, listen, I was just saying, hey, common courtesy, wait your turn. Let me examine the berries. I'll get out of the way. Then your wife or girlfriend could come in and she can examine the berries herself and move. Like, we're just all going to go through this in an orderly fashion, right? It escalates to the point that my buddy's wife, because this guy was getting loud, telling her to mind her own business, you know, let my wife do her shopping, that sort of thing. And eventually, my buddy's wife leaves without getting any of the berries. The question becomes, and this is what my buddy asked me, and I'm not saying my buddy's wife is a jerk, but who's in the wrong here? Like, are you wrong to assume that people will wait their turn if there is such a thing? Like, I don't know that we all take a number except at the deli counter in the grocery store, right? So you're there. I know you waited patiently for the person in front of you. Nobody has to wait to go examine the berries. Two people can examine berries at the same time, can't they? So in essence, my buddy's wife kind of started it, right? She was the one that was first to say, hey, you're butting in here. Let me finish and then you can have your turn. And when she said that and they have their exchange, in comes boyfriend slash husband to the rescue and gets in my buddy's wife's face. And she's trying to defend herself at this point. Like, come on, tell her to wait her turn. She didn't wait her turn. She should be more courteous as a fellow shopper. And next thing you know, she leaves without getting her berries. What I want to know is, who did the wrong thing here? Was it wrong to butt in and check out the moldy berries for yourself? Like, do you wait for somebody else in the berry aisle? I have to say, my approach to this, I think it's simple. I could not possibly care less about how long it takes me to examine the berries. If this woman, if her life is so busy and she is so important that she has to butt in front of me, I'll be like, go ahead. And I hope it makes your day better. I hope you get where you're going as quickly as you clearly need to get there. This doesn't bother me one bit. So I am Switzerland back there, right? I'm just letting her butt in. I'm waiting for her to finish, and then I'm going to take my turn. I don't care if I get the berries that come after she picks hers or I get the berries before she picks hers. That's me. So it never would have gotten to the point with the boyfriend slash husband. Granted, he was a little aggressive. You don't need to be coming. Like, there are lots of reasons to defend the honor of your partner, the Barry Isle ain't one of them, right? So yeah, he may have gotten more heated than he needed to be, but this never had to happen if my buddy's wife just steps back, go ahead, butt in. If butting in to line in the Barry Isle, where there's not really a line, if that makes you feel better, go right ahead. That would have been my approach. So again, I'm not saying my buddy's wife is a jerk. I'm just saying I wouldn't have even accused the other person of butting in. Now, my beloved tells me all the time, I need a spine. I get it. Again, Hakuna Matata. That is my motto on life. Hakuna Matata. Go ahead, have the berries. I hope the berries make you happy. I'll pick the berries after you've picked yours. What do you think? Who did the wrong thing here? I say it was my buddy's wife. I mean, yeah, aggressive boyfriend didn't need to be that way, but he never would have shown up if he just let the other woman pick her berries first. Was she wrong to butt in, or was my buddy's wife wrong to call her on it? 519-570-2545, star 570, or 1-800-570-5715. George, what do you think?
Yeah, Mike, I listened to the whole story before I made my judgment.
Okay.
The thing that really stuck with me is, this has happened to me before. Why are you lining up? Normally, there's enough room for two or three people. I wouldn't be lining up. I would politely find my position where I could go and, you know, look through the berries and everything. I just don't understand why she was lining up. Most of the times, there's room for two or three people.
George, an excellent point. It's like you're the grocery store cop, right? There are no lines in the produce section. You just, whatever. It's a bit of a free-for-all. That's okay. And if you know what? I'd go so far as to say, even if somebody butted in front of me in line at the checkout, like, would it annoy me, especially if they had 38 items and I had three? Yeah. But am I, like, I'll just roll my eyes and just breathe, Farwell. Hakuna Matata. If that makes you happy, if me letting you butt in front of you, me, makes you happy, I'm going to make you happy today. It's your lucky day. But that's me, and I don't have much of a spine. Sean, good morning.
Good morning. Now, I'm thinking, now, if there is a room for several people, why would that person butt in front of her? Why could she have not gone off to either side? Butting in front is just rude. Now, it's a Canadian thing. We queue up. It's something that's essentially Canadian. We line up. We queue. It's un-Canadian not to queue in. Butting in is just rude. But like I said, if there's room either side, why would she need to go in front of this person? And as for her husband getting involved, I mean, it's two women having a go at it. It's like, step back and let them go.
But would you call somebody for butting in front of you? You wouldn't just shift, like George said, to another spot on the shelf?
I would call them out.
Really?
I would, yeah.
Okay.
We have to maintain civility. And if you let people get away with this, we're just going, like, where do we end up? Americans?
All right, Sean. I'm going to say again, Hakuna Matata. There's no line. You want to butt, like, if your day gets better because you butted in front of me in the berry section of the grocery store, good for you. That, to me, is not the slippery slope towards the end of civility in our society. But that's just me. Francis, what do you think?
Well, I go way back a number of years. I talked to you already about people butting in. I would imagine this is probably goes way back to the university students around the university this time of the year. And I understand they have a court order out. Why are the police putting up a fence when there's a court order? You can't do a whole lot of stuff that they're fighting against. I had a person, you know, that cut me off, and I kind of slapped myself around. I say, am I invisible? So, like, what I don't understand, why are they putting all the fences up when there's a court order on Ezra Street in a different area?
Well,
it's not allowed.
Francis, you're mixing some metaphors on me here. I don't see any connection personally between butting in front of someone at the grocery store and holding an illegal street party in Waterloo. So I'll just leave that aside. Francis did mention that if somebody cuts in front of him, he asks himself, what am I, invisible? I get that. And I have asked myself that. And usually I'll just chuckle because, again, I can't be bothered. Like, if you want to be discourteous, it's not up to me to remind you how to be courteous. You have arrived at your place in life all on your own. Good for you. If it makes you happy, if it makes you feel good to be treating other people that way or to be butting in or to have that much self-importance, fill your boots or your grocery cart, as the case may be. Joe, what do you think? What would you have done? Joe? Is Joe there? Joe is not there. Joe went to that dead spot in Port Elgin. He get every time with Joe. Oh, this Port Elgin. Stop calling from Port Elgin, Joe. Come back to civilization, as much as I like Port Elgin. Who should have done what? Was my buddy's wife wrong to challenge the other woman on her lack of manners? Or was that other shopper wrong, that other woman wrong, by butting in front of somebody in the berry? There's no lines. Just find other spot on the shelf or just wait longer. Doesn't matter. You tell me on the flip side this morning, 519-570-2545, star 570, and 1-800-570-5715. This is the Mike Farwell Show, 570 News Radio and Rogers TV. So my buddy's wife goes to the grocery store, you see, and there's a sale on berries. She wants to make sure she checks it out, maybe gets something on sale, gets to the berry section. There's another woman doing some shopping. She waits. My buddy's wife waits. That woman moves along. My buddy's wife moves up because you want to check the produce, make sure it's not mushy or moldy or anything like that. And she begins doing her examination of said berries. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, another aggressive shopper, just happened to be a woman, doesn't matter, could have been anybody, kind of butts in front. And my buddy's wife is like, yo, hey, wait your turn. I just waited my turn. Why don't you wait your turn? And they start sniping back at one another. And then the butter in her, while her boyfriend or husband comes to her defense, chivalrous as he is, and starts getting in the face of my buddy's wife. She ends up leaving. She's saying, like, listen, your wife or girlfriend butted in front of me. She should have waited her turn. She needs to mind her manners. Anyway, my buddy's wife ends up leaving without her berries because it was too confrontational for her. But she's like, what did I do? What did I do? And I'm like, you know, in all honesty, you didn't really do anything wrong, but why? Why is it the hill you were going to die on? The berry hill. For me, I would have like been like, you want to butt in? Butt in. And then none of this would have happened. But maybe, just maybe, somebody's got to teach somebody some manners, right? So what would you have done? Who got this one right? 519-570-2545. Star 570, 1-800-570-5715. Joe, good morning.
Morning, Mike. You know, if it isn't a dead zone, this time it's the dog. Put the phone on mute.
Joe, I am, you know what? You got to figure your stuff out. If you want to call my show, I want no dead zones and no dogs. Like, come on, focus here, buddy.
Try and have some patience, will you?
Yes,
a little
sir.
Patience.
All right, all right, all right, all right.
Now, no, so I have ODD, so I would lose my shite. And
what is ODD?
Oppositional Defiance Disorder.
Okay.
Yeah, so I would lose my shite. And I'm making an observation. I don't know what has happened, but after COVID, people have just become instantly ignorant across the board. It could be anything. You get up to the cash register and somebody's bumping you with their shopping cart. Like, can you give me 6 inches of space for me to put my crap on the thing? Like, what's the deal? People have just gone crazy. And it doesn't help with when you're walking around with ODD. It does not help. So that's just my personal observation. Ciao, bello.
All right, Joe, thanks for the call. I know Joe a little bit outside of our conversations on the radio. It doesn't surprise me that he would choose confrontation. And that's your choice. Andrew, good morning.
Morning. I'm not choosing confrontational, but I would definitely say, excuse me, I was here, and if it turned into some sort of a confrontation, I would just walk away, but I'm not about to give them just whatever they want to do.
You think that somebody's got to point out the lack of manners in that situation?
Well, not just that situation, but pretty near every situation that we live in today. Society is changing. Our generations are less respectful. I don't want to say something else, but a lot of people are less respectful and are not of Canadian ways. I just think I would say, can you wait your turn? And if it got confrontational, I'd back off.
All right, Andrew. Listen, I don't know that it's a Canadian, a uniquely Canadian characteristic. I think universally, people are, I've said this lots of times, right? 85% good. And I think that's why if I run into one of the 15 or 20% bad on any given day, I'm just like, whatever. I'll wait for the next good person to come along. Because anyway, that's my take on it. Grant, what is your take?
Well, I think I would, if the boyfriend came along, I think I would have went to the manager of that store and tell him the situation and have it dealt with them. And I'm pretty sure if I had something like maybe going to a counter because I'm short, they've overlooked me, and I think I might have said, can you not see me? And I know years ago when the COE was in town here, you could wait outside the gate, and I would get up way before a lot of other people, and I would be overlooked. And then finally I said, enough is enough. And I said, hello, I'm here.
That, you listen, Grant, been there. Short people problems and quiet people problems. Yes, you can be overlooked if you're too kind, if you're too much of a wallflower. But it's interesting. So Grant would seek the support of a higher authority. He wants the manager of that grocery store to settle the dispute in the berry aisle. It's the flip side. On the Mike Farwell Show, 570 News Radio and Rogers TV. Donna sends an email to Mike at 570news.com. I love it. This is an interesting conversation, she says. I think it's a sign of the times and people having very little patience these days because of life stresses. There's a podcast by Mel Robbins. We should all listen to it. It's called The Let Them Theory. Donna, my beloved, tells me about this all the time. I call it Hakuna Matata. Mel Robbins calls it Let Them, and she makes millions with her podcast. Hakuna Matata. Everything's okay. Everything's just great. We can continue this in the next hour because it is open lines. So we'll get to talk back, and maybe you want to talk back more about the grocery store war. This is the Mike Farwell Show, 570 News Radio.
Take out the papers and the trash. Or you don't get no spending cash. If you don't scrub that kitchen floor, you ain't gonna rock and roll no more. Yaggity yak.
Don't talk back.
Just finish cleaning up your room. Let's see that dust fly with that broom.
Hakuna Matata. It means no worries for the rest of your days. It's our problem-free philosophy. I'm all about Hakuna Matata. I am not going to argue with you in the berry aisle of the grocery store. That's what happened to my buddy's wife. Things got out of hand. It happens sometimes, I guess, but you want to butt in front if there is a butting in when you're in the produce aisle? You go right ahead. It might make you happier. Let's get back to the phones as we begin the talk back hour today. Bryce, good afternoon.
Yes, Mike.
What do you think?
I think that it's a bit odd that it becomes a fight in the berry section because, I mean, you can always have two people looking at the same time.
I thought so, right? Like, there should be enough room for a couple of fruit examiners.
Yeah. So, but I'm only 18, and I don't have a wife yet, but I do have a girlfriend, and I always go shop with my mom, and she always takes her turn. There's always two people there, and you just wait. I don't see the reason why there should be a fight there.
Well, and this is why it becomes an interesting conversation, I think, because, yeah, there should be plenty of room, so maybe you don't accuse somebody else of butting in when there was no butting in. Or maybe you're just a little more patient and, you know, wait for that other person to leave the section entirely before you move in. I don't know. But this is what happens in life sometimes. Peter, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mike. What would have worked really good and boiled the potatoes of the lady that butted in, say, oh, I'd gladly not only give you my berries, but I'll pay for yours too.
So you want to teach the person who butted in a lesson by buying her berries?
Yeah, absolutely.
Ah, kill her with kindness.
Well, yeah.
I like it, Peter. I like it.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Appreciate that. You know what? I can get behind an idea like that. It's like when you're at the drive-thru. What, they're getting too close to you in the drive-thru lane? Buy their coffee for them. That'll show them. Kill them with some kindness. Afif, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Mike. First of all, nice weather. Second of all, your friend's wife is right. The other lady shouldn't have butt in.
Really? Yeah, you're going to call her on it, eh? Say you should mind your own manners.
Yes.
Okay.
And third of all, I'm just wondering, do you have, like, I guess you have a lot of, like, you know, things with, like, mental health. So I was hoping if you have any, like, information I can get for, like, anxiety issues so I can, like, you know, talk to somebody about it.
Absolutely. Our friends at Camino Wellbeing are with us frequently. They never turn anybody away. Same with the Canadian Mental Health Association. They were just here earlier this week. They have access called Here 24/7 that you're always able to reach out to.
All right. I will try to call them right now.
All right, Afif. You're welcome, and thanks for the call. It's good to hear from you. And, hey, don't be afraid to ask for help if you need help, okay? So we can connect you as best we can. Snyder, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. It's Al, actually, but that's okay.
I don't know why you got written down. I'm calling you by your last name, I think. You can call me Farwell.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Listen, you've been around enough time. Talked to a number of counselors that... You know what their number one question or number two question is from their constituents?
Why are people driving so fast?
Their complaint is?
Speeding.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think you're taking the speeding issue a little lightly, to be honest with you. You know, what's that, Wilmot, is it? They got 1,000 tickets in, what, 4 months?
No, Wellington County, since they put in some speed cameras, they got $1.2 million from the speed cameras in 6 weeks.
Right, and they were expecting that in a year. So what does that tell you? They underestimated the speeding that was going on. I live on Hamilton Street, and it's a dragway. And as far as the sign that's like...
You're on Hamilton and Cambridge?
Yep.
Wow, that's an interesting street to speed on.
Meaning?
Well, because it's very residential, and, you know, enough stop signs on Hamilton to Like, yeah. I don't know where you're trying to get in a hurry when you're on Hamilton Street.
That's what I ask them when they're going by.
Yeah.
50 or 60.
Wow.
To be honest with you. And
yeah.
They would post one of those Your Speed Is signs up there, and people were seeing it, and bang, you'd see their brake lights come on. Because, and as far as having one sign that said, like, you know, that one that was said 30K at, 10 feet from the stop sign, I can assure you, Mike, that a lot of people look at that and go, oh, is it 30 here? I didn't know that.
Well, you know, Al, I get it, and I appreciate the call. But this is the problem that I have. The sign does no good there because the road is coming to an end, right? We have, and you see them. When we posted this on our Facebook page yesterday, the number of people that responded saying, now I can't unsee these. They're everywhere. This is my beef, right? You want to make a residential speed limit 30, you go ahead. I think it's ridiculous, but you go right ahead. You make it 30, you make it 40, you keep it 50. I don't give a tinker's darn. But don't put a sign 10 meters from a stop sign at an intersection that says maximum 30 or maximum 40 ends. It is completely and utterly illogical to do that. We talked about it on the show yesterday because you're coming to a stop sign and you're turning onto a road where the speed limit is clearly different. I don't care if maximum 30 or 40 ends when I'm stopping at an intersection. That sign does not need to be there. And when we talked about this yesterday, and you can see the picture for yourself on our Facebook page, facebook.com/ the Mike Farwell Show, one of our excellent local counselors who heard the segment sent me a message and explained why. It's a provincial regulation. Because if you're coming from one street where the city has decided to lower the speed limit, and you're turning back onto a street where the limit is 50 because that's what the province sets residential speeds at, you have to advertise or put up a sign for the end of the speed limit. I say, no, you don't. I would honestly break that provincial regulation because you're wasting money. That sign is ridiculous. And I think it's a waste of money. And I would, honest to goodness, not one word of a lie, I would not follow the provincial regulation. Because what's going to happen? Nothing. Nobody cares. There's not a department of maximum speed limit signs to come down and fine you for it. Give me a break. That's my beef. Al's not wrong, generally speaking, that everybody drives too damn fast. Those in favor of driving slower, please raise your right foot. This is the Mike Farwell Show, 12 o'clock talkback hour, 570 News Radio and Rogers TV. Do you know those times that the music goes on for longer than maybe it should? I get busy. I distract myself. There was a shiny object. I was trying to solve some problems over here. I'm solving problems with speed limit signs in the region already, but I'm sorry to keep you waiting. Talkback hour continues. Let's get right back to those phones. Richard, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mike. What a beautiful sunny day.
Fantastic day.
I want to make a comment about speed limits, and then I have a question.
Okay.
So I've been driving over 40 years, and my experience is on highways posted at 80 and 100, the real speed limit that you can get away with is plus 20. So 100 and 120. In town, with the exception of school zones, plus 5 to 10. So what problem are we trying to solve by reducing speed limits in residential areas? I've never heard of people, pedestrians getting hit, children getting hit, cars getting hit. Or is it the psychological thing to take people from driving 60 in a residential area to driving 40 or 50 in a residential area by reducing the speed?
That is the idea. 100% that's the idea.
Okay. I just wondered because it makes, but again, what's the problem? Why other than, you know, cars nip along, are people getting hit? Are bicycles getting hit?
No, they're not. Absolutely not.
Then why are we lowering the speed limit? What
Richard,
problem is it solving?
Richard, why won't you think of the children? You're an awful person, Richard. Why won't you think of the children?
I do think of the children.
You can't be.
They're not being injured.
I know.
Like, there's not a problem here. The children aren't, I don't get it.
You are so right. I could not possibly agree with you more. But just think of the children, Richard. Think of the children.
I do think in our school zones, I am happy to see very strict enforcement. Children and their parents with underdeveloped brains do erratic things. And we do need to be extra careful during those drop-off and pickup times in school zones. I actually saw a mirror clipped, and within a split second, a child pop out of the back door, and it was just a little scary. So school zones, I have zero tolerance for speeding, but the rest of the time, hey, what's the problem? Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Richard. I appreciate it. Look, in an 80, I'll push it to 15 over. I'll set my, if I'm on a rural road or I'm taking a longer trip, I'll set it somewhere between 90 and 95. 100, I usually do 15 there too. I'll do like, because I took my buddy to the airport the other day. I was like 117 on my cruise control on the 401. And if you think that's too slow, stay out of my right lane. Simple as that. But I'm with Richard 100%. The problem we're trying to solve is what? oh, low revenue. We just want to grab some cash, eh? I get it. I see what's happening here. Nathan, good afternoon. Nate Dog, arf.
How you doing today, Mike?
I'm excellent, and you?
Okay, not too bad. Three quick things. So I'm the main shopper of the household, and I do run into the butter inners, or the memes, as I call them.
The who what now? The memes?
The memes. I call them memes.
Okay.
Because it's all about me.
Right, know? Right, right. Yeah, yeah.
So usually I just play it off with humor. I'll say something like, I forgot to turn off my cloaking device, or gee, it might be Invisible Man today, you know, stuff like that. Now, number two, my best friend during the pandemic shopping days, when that first came back where we were allowed to go into the stores, my best friend's pretty cocky. He's the one that made you wear that horrible jersey a few years back. There was a sale on bacon, so he went to go get some bacon, and there was a bit of an older couple in the bin already, and the woman was proceeding to pick up every pack of bacon with her hands and inspect it very close to her face because maybe she needed glasses and forgot her glasses, and she kept throwing them off to the side of the bin. So he stood there and grabbed every pack she threw over, picked it up, and put it in her cart. And her husband was just dumbfounded, didn't know what was going on. Needless to say, it got heated. And
but why, though? Why, Nathan? Why would he do that? Why would he? Like, what's the point? It's frozen.
No, it was fresh bacon, but it was pandemic. It was the pandemic stuff, how, you know, you weren't really.
So if you touched it and then you didn't.
And she was breathing all over it.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I know. Heaven forbid somebody breathes.
It was pandemic shopping days, so things were a little different. But it seems to be still lingering around where people, you know, they want to force their space.
Yeah, I hear you. I Hakuna Matata, or as, shuzzbutt, Donna, her email, right? Gosh, Farwell. Anyway, let them, the Mel Robbins podcast, just let them. People are going to be people. Let people be the kind of people they want to be, and you be the kind of person you want to be. And Hakuna Matata. And by the way, Nate's friend did make me wear a really, really ugly hockey jersey, but he gave me $800 for charity for it. Farwell for Hire starts in May. I'll take your $800 to put on an ugly jersey. Talkback Hour continues, too. This is 570 News Radio and Rogers TV. It is your daily chance to talk back. Don't you talk back to me. You are encouraged to talk back on this segment every day. 519-570-2545, star 570, or 1-800-570-5715. Ernie, good afternoon.
Mike, what was it worth the wait for that finish and that ending, or what do you think?
Of Cobra Kai? Yeah, I enjoyed it. The last four or five episodes made up for what I thought were some pretty weak seasons in between.
Yes, 100%. I totally agree with you on that. As far as the cameras here, this is my thoughts here. Is it going to drop my property tax here in Wilmot, Mike?
No, Ernie. You know what your property taxes do? They go up by like triple the rate of inflation. Why do you want to make me angry today?
Okay, so no, I'm not trying to, but like, I mean, so you're getting all this money and our taxes are still just going to go up again next
year? Yes. Because they'll whiz the money away on stuff we don't need, like signs that say maximum 30, 10 meters from a stop sign. Like, it's true, though.
So more bike lanes and more signs.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. I think I figured out how this works now. Okay.
Thanks, Mike. You're welcome. Hey, listen, I am here for you, buddy. I'm here for you. Bob, good afternoon.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm excellent, thanks, Bob. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good.
I just want to know, did you happen to see the press conference with Mike Rubio or Marco Rubio?
I did not.
Before he went into the G7 conference, somebody asked him about Canada being in the 51st state, and he said that that Canada should be, but he said that I'm not here to talk about Canada. I'm here for the G7. And if you want me to talk about how the U.S. is going to take Canada, I'm not here for that. What's your comment?
I'm glad. that he's not here for that. I'm glad he's not giving any oxygen to the idea, because that idea, which I thought at first was a joke, has had far too much oxygen, and I don't like it. Sam, I don't like your green eggs and ham and 51st State. This is the Mike Farwell Show, 570 News Radio. It is a busy talkback hour today, just the way we like it. So I want to get to as many of your calls as I can. Right back to the phones. David, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mike. A couple things. I agree with you on the Region Waterloo Council. They shouldn't be just picking a guy. He wasn't really elected. They should rerun an election. The second thing that really bothers me is that we're having a prime minister that wasn't elected. He's not elected at all, and now he's running our country. And the last thing is, when people run for MPP or MP, if they're, like most of the people are coming from school boards, they should resign that seat and then run. They can't just have their seat and then run. If they don't make it, they go back to it. So that's just my opinion anyway.
Agreed with you across the board, Dave. Like, across the board, I agree with you. And dare I say that each of those scenarios that you just shared is another little pinprick in our dwindling desire to participate in elections, right? Because anyway, I agree across the board, and we'll go to Romeo's call next. Romeo, good afternoon.
How are you doing, Mike?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm all right.
That's good.
It was just a little bit of comment earlier about your situation at the grocery store.
Yeah.
This happened to my cousin, but she went to a certain buffet that's not around no more before COVID. And she witnessed a little boy sneezing on the food, and she went to the manager.
Romeo, this is why, like, I love our hardworking restaurateurs. No more buffets. We're over it, right?
Right.
Okay.
This little boy sneezed on it, and my cousin actually said to the manager, "Do you mind removing this food? That little boy sneezed on it." And all of a sudden, the father came up with the little boy and said, "Mind your effing business. And I'm not going to say any more," because it's quite cursive. But my cousin stood her ground and just let him have it. And it just saw it was not right. But, like, the manager didn't do anything, but she eventually stormed out of the buffet.
Well, I don't blame her for that. And again, I'm Mr. Hakuna Matata, okay? My beloved tells me all the time, you need a spine. You know what I would have done? I would have walked out of that restaurant. That's it. End of story. But that, I can't. I've reached a point in my life. I'm becoming a wee bit of a germaphobe. I can't do it. I don't know where that spoon has been before you reached it back into the rice bowl. Come on with your coming on. Yeah. Anyway, Barbara, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mike. How are you today?
Hey, Barb, I'm good. How are you?
Awesome. Thank you. I wanted to comment on the change speed signs that have appeared all over where we see 30 ends. You've been talking about it, I think, this morning. I didn't catch everything that was said.
Yeah, they're right there near a corner.
Yeah, well, I know. So I go up and down Avondale all the time and in between Kitchener-Waterloo, and there's one of those signs every 20 feet because there's a whole bunch of stop signs. So it is not true that there is no requirement to change the speed at the end of a roadway. We don't see those signs anywhere else. Like, if you turn from Glasgow onto Westmount or any other place, you don't see a sign on Glasgow saying 40 ends and Westmount 50 begins. It's this, each road has its own speed limit depending on the capacity, whether it's arterial or whatever, you know, there are speed limits. And so there's absolutely no reason for these signs. They're preposterous. I just think some bureaucrat way overthought the darn thing, and it's embarrassing. It's really embarrassing. And the other thing is, most of us now are using, most people, I presume, have Google Maps, you know, on display in their car or whatever. Google Maps tells you the speed of every road you're on. So it says the speed right there. So we don't really need that much help. So I don't know what's going on there, but I, Mike, despair of the inefficiency and waste at regional and local governments. It's, we can't afford to be doing this anymore. We've got to be cutting costs and being smart about everything. So that's a bit of a rant, I'm afraid.
Don't apologize. It's very well said across the board. A couple of things real quick. I don't disagree for one second. Embarrassing is a really good word for it. You overthought this one, folks. You overthought it. When Barb talked about having, some navigation system in your vehicle that tells you what the limit is. I actually thought of that yesterday while I was walking Rosie the pandemic pup. Like, instead of signs even that say maximum 30, 40, or 50, why don't we just have sensors on the road that beam the information right into your car? Like, it'll just tell you. Because we have that technology. But then I started thinking about the privacy stuff. We probably don't want that. But embarrassing is absolutely the word for it. We overthought it. And I'm reluctant to talk about departments of government efficiency based on how they're going in the States. But this point was made in a letter to the editor I read today. I can't remember if it was the Globe or the Record. Either way, about efficiency in government and how much is enough. What bar should we set for how much is paid on salaries? I'm going to say this again because it does frustrate me. As a taxpayer, I help to pay the salary of somebody who makes, on average, 15 to 30% more than I do with a way better benefits package. So they get a higher wage with better benefits that I have to pay for. And there are a lot of these people doing those jobs. I find it incredibly frustrating. And to Barb's point, as I take it a step further, because I can't help myself in this regard, we need to look at efficiency. We need to figure out if we need all of the people, especially the ones that decide we need these maximum 30 signs 10 meters before a stop sign. Oh boy, I went on a little bit there. Terry, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Mike. Maybe the speed sign before the stop sign or whatever, the intersection, maybe it's because most people don't stop at stop signs, so it doesn't matter.
Maybe. Could be.
Anyway, something interesting that caught my attention is that the Canadian government's putting in these 25% tariffs on, I heard, sleeping bags and tennis rackets and stuff like that coming from the state.
Okay.
Did you hear that same
story? No, I didn't hear about sleeping bags and tennis rackets, but I know we had retaliatory tariffs.
I think it was on your radio station at the announcement. Maybe you don't.
Terry, I promise you, I listen to the news in the morning before, as I'm getting ready for work. And then once I'm in this studio, when it's not me talking, I'm getting ready for the next time I have to talk.
Okay. Anyway, I thought that was interesting, but, it's on the updates. But the thing I find interesting about that is that most of that stuff, I'm sure, if not all, comes from China or overseas. Just because it gets warehoused in the States, we have to pay extra tax on that, even though it wasn't even manufactured there. That's kind of interesting to where I'm looking at it. Anyway, I can go home right now. I have a few sleeping bags. I have a couple tennis rackets. I'm willing to bet on the labels it says made in China.
I'm willing to bet, Terry, that the people negotiating these or implementing these retaliatory tariffs know more about them than either you or I.
Well, I just go by the label, Mike. I'm just a,
no, I know. But if they're
I'm just an ignorant fool.
But if they're putting tariffs on sleeping bags and tennis rackets, there's a reason for it. I trust them. Believe it or not, I trust them in that.
Okay. Yeah. I just thought I think this is going too far. It's like cutting off your nose the spite of your face in terms of our government. Anyway, Mike, have yourself a good day.
Thanks, Terry. You too. These are the times in which we exist. This is the Mike Farwell Show. Your talkback hour continues. 570 News Radio and Rogers TV.
Turn it up!
Turn up the temperature! The talkback lines are hot today. Right back to the phones we go. Ken, number one. Good afternoon, Ken.
Good afternoon, Mike. With regard to your segment on the butting in the grocery store.
Yeah.
For me, whether or not I was confrontational, probably would depend on the day, the hour, or the minute. But this brought to mind an incident many, many years ago. We were standing in line at the Apollo Theater waiting for the movie, and a couple of guys walked in front of us, went four or five ahead and jammed themselves in front of this young lady that was standing there. She seemed to be by herself. And when she said, hey, you're butting in front, the one guy said two words to her that were not very kind. But within seconds, there was a rather large man in their face saying that after they apologized to his girlfriend, they were leaving. And basically, which they did. The whole thing took less than a minute. And I always thought it could have been scripted out of a movie because that's probably things that happen. But it brought that to mind for me. And one other thing, it looks like, if Kitchener's playing Flint during the playoffs, that means they're coming up here. Instead of booing the national anthem, I would just as soon see everybody turn their back. And when the anthem's over, turn back around and sing, "Oh, Canada." I think that'd be a little more classy.
All right, Ken, appreciate the call. Good thinking ahead there, because yes, it looks like the Rangers will play Flint in the first round. It would be my sincere, from the bottom of my heart, my sincere plea to you would be to not boo the American anthem at all. I'm not even in favor of turning your back on it. By all means, belt out O Canada if you want to. These are hockey players. The vast majority of them are from Ontario or elsewhere in Canada. So anyway, but don't do it. Please, 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 please don't get involved in any of those shenanigans. Let's just go and enjoy the hockey games when they come around, okay? Ken C., good afternoon to you.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
Good. Just a couple real quick hits here for you.
Yes, sir.
I happened to be at the Titans game last night with 35 people from my office, and it was an unbelievable game, man. Titans won by 1 point against the first-place team from Sudbury.
Amazing.
There was only 1,700 people there. It sounded like 6,000. And, you know, if any of your listeners have been thinking about going to see this team, I've got no skin in the game, okay, up front. I've got no horse in this race. It's for $25. It's the best entertainment you're ever going to see. It was fantastic. And if everybody who was there last night just grabbed one friend and went to the next game, they'd have 3,400 people there. And, you know, I just think that the town really should get behind this team. So that's it about the Titans. Second thing about, you know, you've been talking earlier in the week about that situation with the Rangers a while back where they had a 5-minute penalty without anybody in the penalty box.
Yeah.
So what happens if I know you said if the penalty runs out, you can't put a player on. What happens if they ice the puck once the penalty's over?
Oh my gosh. I know, you know what? I would assume because they still have to keep playing shorthanded, they would be shorthanded. They would need a whistle. So you could ice, you would just continue to play shorthanded until you get somebody in that box or until you get that whistle.
Right. But what would be interesting if the referee said, well, you're really not supposed to be shorthanded. So now you've iced the puck and the four guys that are on the ice cannot go to the bench for a change and you still can't bring anybody out.
Yeah, that's really, I've never seen it happen before. It just brought up the issue because we got down to like 21 seconds left in the penalty.
Yeah.
But I would think that since I've learned you have to continue playing shorthanded, it's your own damn fault. So,
right.
You know, you just got to figure it out.
Yeah. And the last thing, I know you've been talking about speed limit signs and speed traps and everything else. And I love your saying, you know, come on with the coming on. What is with that Shirley Drive, Binghamton Park Drive road between Victoria and Wellington Street? 50 kilometers an hour. It's got to be the biggest moneymaker for the region in speeding fines that you're ever going to see.
Absolutely. I've said multiple times, just put a cruiser out there every day.
Well, it's four lanes wide and a center turning lane. And it's 50 kilometers. I mean, before you know it, you're whistling along there at 70 kilometers an hour. You're just easy pickings for the constables, right? it's just ridiculous. And then if you're coming down, you know, towards Kitchener on that street, you cross Victoria Street. Now you're on Lochner Boulevard, and it's two lanes, and it's 60 kilometers an hour. It's two lanes, one each way. It makes no sense at all.
Except when you consider we have two tiers of local government, Ken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right, friend. Great to hear from you. Thank you very much for that. Good plug for the Titans, too. Terrific entertainment. There's no question about that. Talk Back Hour continues. This is the Mike Farwell Show, 570 News Radio and Rogers TV. Our final minutes together today before we turn things over to Rob Snow with Now You Know. He'll have some talk back with you as well. And that, of course, will follow our update in the 570 News Center at 1. Let's get back to the phones. Our talk back hour continues with Bob. Good afternoon, Bob.
Hey, Mike. Hope you're having a good day.
I am having a good day. Thank you. I hope you are, too.
Okay, can I ask you a couple of questions?
Yes.
Why is it that the conservatives are trying to make it sound like the liberals are doing something illegal when they
had a substitute or
what are they
as premier before?
What are they trying to
before this election? Her name was Kim Campbell. And how much experience did Doug Ford have before he got into politics and became premier?
How much experience did Justin Trudeau have before he got into politics and became prime minister?
Yeah, you're in the party.
Sorry?
He was serving Quebec before he became prime minister.
I know, but how did that work out?
Worked out good. He won.
Well, I know he won, but how did it work out for us, Bob?
He did a pretty fair job.
You think so? I disagree with that. I totally disagree with that, actually.
Well, that's fine. You can.
Okay. Well, there you go. I do.
Okay.
Okay.
Like I said, how much experience did Doug have before he got in?
I just asked. I answered your question with a question. How much experience did Trudeau have? And how did that work out?
I don't know how many times I heard that they wish they had somebody with financial experience around for the job, and now you do.
Oh, yes, Mark Carney certainly has financial experience. There's no question about that. Tom, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mike. It's okay. We can all disagree, and all true. I did a good job in some things, bad in others. Anyway, my reason for my call, Mike, is if we're going to start putting speed traps in our zones or anything, let's start enforcing some of the traffic rules. You come down the 85 and go southbound on 85 and get off the 85 ramp at Sportsville Drive there, there's no yield sign there. Yet, if you look in the northbound lanes, there's a yield sign, which doesn't make any sense to me. We want to put signs up. We don't obey them anyhow. Same thing when you go to the schools or right around 2 o'clock, 2:30 in the afternoon. There's lineup for parents to pick up their schools around the block on both sides. And if you come to a two-way stop, you can't see around the cars that are parked right at the curb on the stop signs, which is we are looking for an accident that happened there. So I have no idea what council thinks about safety sometimes or about enforcement of laws or bylaws. But if you're going to do it, do it. Don't just, you know, arbitrarily try to do one over the other.
All right, Tom. Appreciate the call. You know what I think? I have the answer to this, too. Like, I have got answers to every problem. Provincial legislation says you need to have a maximum 30 ends just before a stop sign. Ignore the provincial legislation. Problem solved. In this case, Tom, the problem is solved if we all were granted the ability, we all got deputized so we could all hand out tickets for moving violations, for parking violations. Problem solved, right? Because it's never us that is speeding or changing lanes without signaling or parking quasi-legally. It's never us. It's always the other person. But if we could all ticket those other people, we're all set. We are all set. And I have to get out of here. My time has expired today. Thanks to Jen Tam, who produced our show from the other side of the glass. My name is Mike Farwell. Bye for now.